And I wonder if we can just thank the youth for the wonderful way they've been leading us, and Esther as well. And if you do have a Bible, do turn to that bit in Galatians. That last bit that Esther just read is the last section in this series that we've been going through, looking at this great letter. And if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. I'm just going to take a few moments now to unpack that little passage. And it's been a series where we've been looking at what does it mean to be authentic, authentic Christians, to have an authentic faith. What is real in our world? What is true? And tonight, this final night, we're looking at true faith. True faith. And you might be coming into the evening service tonight, maybe as a visitor, or you have just come especially because the youth are leading it. And so you're catching the end, as it were, of our series in Galatians. And that's kind of a bit odd when you're just catching the end of something. So I want to show you the end of something that you might have known a bit better than Galatians. I encourage you to get to know Galatians well. But this is one of those films that kind of sticks in your head a little bit. It came out about 10 years ago, but it was loved by people young and old. It's a story about an ogre. Anyone know his name? Shrek. Shrek the ogre. And in fact, Shrek in this film is kind of getting to know and helping rescue Princess Fiona. And I'm going to tell you the plot on the assumption if you haven't seen it in the last 10 years, okay, you have you've probably decided not to see it, and maybe even seeing the end will help you think, right, I'd like to see the rest. So here's the plot, and then you're going to see the last couple of minutes if this works. So Princess Fiona is this beautiful kind of princess, voiceover by Cameron Diaz. You're getting the idea. And this Princess Fiona is a bit different, though. And as Shrek tries to rescue her and bring her back to Duloc, this kind of perfect town, and you have to remember that the whole film is kind of... it's done by DreamWorks to kind of have a go at Disney's fairy tale, everything perfect kind of pictures. And so as they get back to Duloc, you start realizing Duloc's not such a great place. Actually, this princess needs to be more herself and not just trying to put on appearance. And there's something different about Princess Fiona. And you get to the very end when Princess Fiona is about to marry the prince, who's really actually not a good guy at all. All about how he appears, how everything looks. And then Shrek and Donkey, they bust into the wedding ceremony and they manage to get there just in time. And Princess Fiona has had this kind of, it's all fairy tales, you know, sort of magical creatures alongside these kind of, princes and the other soldiers and things like that. But these fairy tale creatures kind of come to the rescue, and there's this kind of magic spell that's been put on Princess Fiona that if she gets true love's kiss, that she will actually be transformed to be not kind of this and that, a bit two-faced, but to be the very person she's meant to be. And it turns out, a little surprising twist, actually Princess Fiona, the one she's meant to be, is not this nice front exterior. It's actually not about what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And so you get this little bit right at the very end. I think we'll watch it now.
By night one way, by day another. I wanted to show you before.
That explains a lot.
Oh, it's disgusting! Guards! Guards! I order you to get them out of my sight! Now! Get them! Get them both! Focus, focus, focus! Nothing! This marriage is binding, and that makes me king! See?
No,
see?
No!
Stand there, you moron!
Get out of
my way if you have to!
No.
Get it! You, my wife,
Fiona.
I'll have you locked back in that tower for the rest of your days. Oh. I will have order. I will have perfection. I will have.
Celebrity marriages, they never last, do they? Go here, Trick.
Fiona?
Yes, Shrek?
I love you.
Really?
Really, really.
I love you too. Understand. I'm supposed to be beautiful.
But you are beautiful.
I was hoping this would be a happy ending.
That's the end anyway. What has Shrek got to do with Galatians? Well, a bit like Shrek and Donkey kind of barged into that wedding at the end. The Apostle Paul has written to the church in Galatia, as it were, coming in on something, a little kind of friendship and something that's growing between the Galatian Christians and some who've come in amongst them. They're called Judaizers. They were trying to make the Galatian Christians think that they had to kind of keep the law and be perfect and do everything just right if they were going to be proper Christians. And the Apostle Paul sends this letter, and it's like he's storming in and says, wait, stop, don't do it. There's something far, far better. Something more precious, something about what it means to be a true Christian that you're in danger of losing here if you go down that route. And what we're going to see in Galatians is what it means at the very end to have true faith. Let me read it for you again, just verse 11 and 12 initially, and we'll just think a bit about that. Verse 11, Paul, as it were, takes up the pen in verse 11 and says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. He's been dictating this to a scribe. That was the usual way. And it's like now he gets the pen and he's going to say right at the bottom of the letter, this is really important. Don't want you to miss this. This last bit, you might have missed the rest of the series, but you've got the really important bit at the end as Paul takes up the pen and he says, this is what I want to, as it were, underline. Verse 12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Circumcision comes up a couple of times in this passage, a couple of times in our readings. It was a key part of the Jewish law. It was a kind of outward display of the fact that you were a Jewish Christian. So 8 days old, the Jewish little baby boys, they were circumcised. Their foreskin was cut off. And actually converts to Judaism needed to be circumcised too. So when people became Christians, Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, then these Judaizers kind of said, well, it's great you believe in Jesus, but if you want to have true faith, you need to keep the law as well. You need to do this circumcision thing. You need to make sure you keep up a good veneer. And Paul is saying this, true faith, this is our first point tonight, true faith is not skin deep. It's not an appearance thing. Our society today is obsessed with appearances. But it wasn't just our society today that's obsessed with appearances. Those decades and even thousands of years ago, those days too, it was about kind of looking good and fitting in with the right crowd. And you wanted to fit in with the sort of Jewish crowd if you were coming into the church, many people thought, because actually a lot of the Christians in those times were Jews. And so this thing about keeping circumcision, that had become a big deal. But Christianity, true faith, is not skin deep. It's not a matter of external ceremonies and appearances primarily. It's an inward transformation that does then show itself in outward ways, but primarily it's an inward transformation of your heart. Remember a little comedy sketch I saw a while back with two guys. They were going in to a kind of big celebration. It was one of these black and white comedies. If you're into all the modern films, you need to go way back a few 50 years or so, see some really sort of fun stuff. This is Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, and they're going off to one of their these kind of parties, and they're talking about a girl is there and says, you know, oh, they're beautiful, and one of them turns to the other and says, beauty is only skin deep, you know. The other guy says, well, that's deep enough for me. I'm no cannibal. Don't worry, I have to see the film to get it. But, you know, actually we live in a world where appearances and things being skin deep is very normal. True faith is not skin deep. True faith is not about an outward show. In Galatians here, it says those who want to make a good impression outwardly. Is your faith, maybe you're here tonight and you see yourself as someone who's a Christian. Is your faith an outward show? Is it a kind of, does it show itself in the main part through ceremony, through things you do? You come to church. You're an English person. You were maybe christened as a baby. Your parents are Christians. I mean, you've been coming to church for maybe many years. And so if anyone would say you're a Christian, you say, well, look at these things. This is what I do. It's my Christian faith. And I'd want to say, hang on a minute. Paul would want to say, hang on a minute. The Christian faith is not just a matter of outward show. It needs to be real. It needs to be your faith. I loved one of those cardboard testimonies that said, you know, talked about my parents' faith and then discovered that I could have a personal faith of my own. Is your faith personal to you? True faith is not skin deep. That's the first thing you see in Galatians. And actually in Shrek, it's a big deal. It's not about appearances. It's about being who you are made to be and really are. Okay, next thing we see here. True faith isn't swayed by opposition. The thing about skin deep faith, if your faith is skin deep, you will be swayed by opposition. You'll go on to uni or, you know, those who are maybe a bit older, you'll go into the workplace or you'll go into a difficult situation. And when you get flack, you'll think, well, you know, I'll just go along with the crowd. I'll avoid flack. And in Galatians 5, 6, what's happening is in verse 12, it says, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. In those days in Galatians, it was like that scene at the end of Shrek. You stand out for what you believe and people are out to get you. In fact, what happened was that the Roman law at the time, they made certain allowances for particular religions. And the Jewish religion was allowed. It was a kind of, you were okay if you were a Jew. That was a recognized faith, as it were. But the Christian faith at that time wasn't recognized. So you get in trouble for being a Christian. So actually, it kind of made some sense. It made some sense if you wanted to avoid getting into trouble, avoid getting persecuted, to get circumcised. And then you could kind of say, well, I'm a kind of Christian, but I'm also a Jew. I'm safe. It was like get out of jail free card. Have you ever played Monopoly? The only problem was it got you into a different kind of slavery, slavery to the law, to trying to keep the law, to be perfect, as we've seen in Galatians. That was no freedom at all. So true faith, if your faith is true, it will stand the test of time. It will actually mean that when you're in hostile environments, when people are mocking Christians, that you will be willing to stand firm for your faith. And so as a number of youth have got baptized this year, we've asked them, say, will you hold fast to Jesus no matter what the future holds? Whatever trouble, whatever difficulties, whatever even persecution. And they've gone, yes. Why? Well, because true faith shows itself in a willingness to stand. True faith isn't swayed by opposition. And you know, as well, I just want to say to everyone that if you're following Jesus Christ, the Christ who went to Calvary, if you're following him, then you're following on the road to Calvary. Jesus said, didn't he, pick up your cross daily and follow me. You know, the road to Calvary was actually a place where people mocked and jeered. And maybe you found that even as you follow Christ, people mock and jeer and oppose you. Well, don't be surprised, but stand firm, because true faith isn't swayed by opposition. But Paul goes on as he tries to expand what true faith is. Not just is it not skin deep, not just is it not swayed by opposition, but true faith looks for God's work ultimately and not our own. He goes on to say this. Not even those who are circumcised, verse 13, obey the whole law, and yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. But Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. This is so central to the letter to Galatians, and it's so central to life. It's a bit of my testimony, even as I shared it in the cardboard testimony way. If you are trying to make it to heaven, if you're trying to get right with God by what you do, then you can keep trying all you like for as long as you like. You'll never make it. You'll never feel you're sure you're going to be safe. Why? Because actually your good works will never be enough. You can try to your blue in the face. No, don't look to your own works. True faith doesn't look to your own works. The Judaizers in Galatia, they were trying to say, yeah, look, check it out. You can be really sure of your place with God, and you'll be right, and you'll be okay if you get circumcised and if you get all that stuff sorted. And in fact, even those then who were circumcised, they were trying to find their security in going, well, that's great. We've got 5 people from here, and they've now circumcised, and there's another 10 from over there. And that's, they were trying to get as many as they could, as it were, and feel their joy and satisfaction out of that. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to boast in that. I'm not going to boast in how I've kept the law or how many converts I've won or anything like that. No, I'm boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because it's not about what I do for him. It's what he's done for me. Have you got true faith? If you've got true faith, then your faith will show itself by being confident, not in what you do or have done or will do, but in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And that is so liberating. Why is that so liberating? Well, because it means then, as you look to the cross, you are able, like Paul, to say, I'll never boast in anything but the cross of Christ. And then he says, and I've just lost it, Galatians 6:14, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Here's the amazing thing. When that becomes your normal way of operating, if you're looking to true faith in what God has done and not in what you've done, then somehow what people think of you doesn't make so much difference. So true faith is not, again, it isn't looking for human praise. And again, it was wonderful to see so many of these testimonies of young people where it matters so much what your peers think of you, to see so many of them realize that actually when they're worried about that, their insecurities were massive. But as they came to know that it was about God and what he'd done for them, then confidence came. Because if we spend our lives, and this is not just a thing for young people, it's for all of us. If we spend our lives worrying about what others are going to be thinking about of us and how they'll be praising us or not praising us, then we're in danger just as much as if we're afraid of opposition. Both are huge pitfalls. And Paul says, no, I'm not going down either way. I'm focusing on the cross of Christ. Is your true faith a change of heart? Is your true faith something that's not skin deep, that's actually happened in you so that you're not swayed by opposition? You're looking to God's work and not your own. That you're not interested in human praise. You've come to see
what Jesus did on the cross is what counts the most. Well, if you've done that, then this next little phrase is probably not going to surprise you. Because it says this, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. True faith involves a new creation. A change. I love those testimonies because they show a change. So something old is gone and something new has come. What has changed? God has happened in that person's life. God has come by his Spirit and made us new. How does this new creation sort of unpack? Well, in a previous verse, a chapter earlier, that was actually read for us by one of the people. I think it might have even been Jess over here. She read out this, Galatians 5 verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Very similar phrase to the one in Galatians 6:15. Except it ends, rather than saying the only thing that counts is a new creation, it says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So what is a new creation? A new creation is where someone has come to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the faith bit. And as they've come to believe, God by his Spirit has come in. That's what you see in the book of Galatians, that it's a work of God's Spirit that enables us to love. To not be preoccupied with self, but to be preoccupied with God and with others. As Jesus says in his own words, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. The new birth, new creation. Have you been born again? Have you experienced the new birth? Are you a new creation? Have you got a testimony? This is what I was like. Then God came and made me new. And now I'm living by faith in love for him and for others. Paul is very bold. As he comes to the end here, he says, that's what counts, a new creation. And he goes and says, peace and mercy then to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. And by that, he's picturing the church, which is God's people. Peace and mercy to you. And then he says, finally this, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He's not talking about circumcision there. He's saying, I've been willing to stand for this. I've got stripes on my back. I've got signs that I've been persecuted. If you're a new creation, you're going to stand for Christ in this city and in this nation in the decades ahead, you will face opposition. But it's worth it because Jesus is worth it. And actually, this is the only way to be free. Those who are always trying to fit in with the crowd or get the praise of it, they're not free. This is the way to freedom in life. And so this last verse of Galatians, this is a great verse. If you've got a Bible, why don't you read it out loud with me? It says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Amen means so be it. The grace, the good gifts of God, the good gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of his word. Galatians has pointed us to his authentic word given through the apostles. The good gift of the cross of our salvation. The good gift of his Spirit. All his grace that comes to us. Not because of anything we have done. But because of who God is and what God has done. And so as we end this service, this December time, this Christmas time, I want to invite you tonight. If you've not had a new creation in your heart, if you've not known that transforming work that enables to be freely and truly who God has made you to be, not living for yourself or living to please others or swayed by others, not putting on a veneer, a mask, but being a new creation in Christ, then I'd love you to echo this prayer in your heart. It's a prayer you might well start singing in this coming month because it's a prayer from the end of one of the carols. We've got it up here on the screen. It's from the end of a little town of Bethlehem. And it says this, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad message tell, the good news that a Savior's come. Oh, come to us, abide with us, that new creation, our Lord Emmanuel. I know many here have not only sung that over the years, but they've prayed it or something similar. And so as we end, I wonder if we can, if you've prayed it in the past or you want to pray it maybe even for the first time, you could pray this with me out loud. There'll probably be many voices, but I hope yours, if you've maybe never prayed anything like this, is one of them too. So we're going to say this out loud together. Only say it if you can mean it, as a prayer as we end our service tonight. So let's pray, and we can have our eyes open and read it from the screen as we pray together. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad message tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful prayer that as you hear it, you respond to it. And Lord, I pray that those who've said this prayer, maybe for the first time, maybe a prayer that they've prayed many times. Lord, I pray that you would keep us, that you would hold us, that you would help us to live true lives of faith. All the days of our lives, holding fast to you, whatever others may say. So come by your Spirit, come fill us afresh, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.